learn more. Thank you so much for keeping it locked to VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, Brian Lynn has a report on an American research farm that aims to produce pig organs for humans. Mario Ritter Jr. has this week's health and lifestyle report. We close the show with the lesson of the day. But first,
scientists are raising pigs to produce human organs at a specialized research farm in the American state of Virginia. A medical company called Revivicor runs the farm in the rural community of Blacksburg. The area is surrounded by the Blue Ridge Mountains. Workers at the farm follow intense measures in an effort to prevent infection and disease spread. About 300 pigs of different ages live on the research farm. Some animals raised there have already provided the first genetically changed pig organs ever transplanted into humans. Individuals working at the center must undergo a series of safeguards aimed at preventing infections in the organs grown for people. Matthew Von Esch is an executive with United Therapeutics, the parent company of Revivicor. He told the Associated Press, "The research farm was designed with the goal of protecting the pigs against contamination from the environment and from people." David Aras is the founder and chief scientific officer of Revivicor. He described the farmed pigs to the AP as precious animals because of their ability to help save human lives. The research farm looks very different from a traditional animal farm. This is because of the strong security and cleanliness measures needed. It was built to meet U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, safety requirements. For example, pigs living at the farm only drink water that is highly filtered. All food also gets disinfected. Revivicor's farm aims to produce human organs that can be used in scientific experiments or actual transplants. There is currently a great need in the U.S. for organ transplants. Thousands of people are waiting for a donor organ, but experts say there will never be enough human donors to fill that need. Using animal-grown organs for human transplants is one possible way to deal with the shortage. Scientists use genetic engineering methods to grow organs in animals. These organs behave more like human ones than animal ones, which reduces the chances that the body will reject the animal organs. Teams have been working for many years to grow more human-like organs in pigs. So far in the United States, 4 compassionate use transplants have happened. These cases involved last-minute experiments to transplant pig organs into humans who faced life-threatening conditions. 2 transplants involved hearts and 2 involved kidneys. Revivicor provided both of the hearts and 1 of the kidneys. All 4 patients died within a few months. Still, experts say each transplant offered the possibility for valuable, real-life research. The goal is to one day attempt to put pig organs into human transplant patients who are not quite as sick. Revivicor's Eras said the company is aiming to produce organs in the pigs that closely meet the size and needs of each patient. The idea is that such organs will perform better than human-donated organs because they are younger and free of disease. Eras added that transplant doctors who have received organs from Revivicor's farm say, "Oh my God, that's the most beautiful kidney I've ever seen." He said the reaction is the same when they get a pink, healthy, happy heart from a young animal. Officials at Revivicor say the biggest difficulties they face include overcoming the rejection of pig organs in humans and preventing animals from carrying unknown infection risks. Scientists try to deal with the rejection issue by employing different engineering methods to make the pig organs as human-like as possible. Genetic changes are made to the pig eggs that Revivicor receives. The engineered eggs are then nurtured in the lab with the hope of producing a healthy embryo. The embryos are then taken to the research farm to be put inside living pigs. It is expected to take years of experimentation to prove whether animal organ transplants will work long-term in human patients. But if the efforts succeed, United Therapeutics plans to open additional research farms to produce up to 2,000 organs a year. I'm Brian Lynn.
Summer brings very high temperatures to many parts of the United States. That can be both good news and bad news for gardens and gardeners. Jessica Damiano writes about gardening for the Associated Press. She keeps a garden in New York, where summer temperatures can reach 32 degrees Celsius. Recently, Damiano repeated a difficult truth for gardeners. Weather has a lot to do with success, but it is out of our control. There are measures that plant lovers can take to ease the effects of hot summer weather. One measure is to spread a thick layer of mulch over plant roots. This can help keep plant roots cool and will preserve water or moisture in the soil. When watering plants, use a lot of water and let it soak deep into the ground. You can water your garden less often if you provide a few deep soaks regularly. Light watering causes roots to spread near the surface of the soil. If there is too much sun for young plants, don't be afraid to give them shade. Damiano said she has been known to place an umbrella on the ground to protect tender plants from the sun. Heat is not all bad for a garden. Some plants love heat. Damiano grows a kind of tomato called Big Boy. The plant, she says, has grown quickly in the summer heat. Zucchini, a form of squash, also does well. Heat can also keep harmful insects away. Cabbage, onion, and corn maggots prefer cooler weather and struggle in the heat. So do cutworms, which can be especially destructive to gardens. Damiano says some of her perennial flowering plants have bloomed 2 weeks earlier than usual. For this reason, she decided to add late-blooming plants to her garden to ensure a good crop of flowers. She reported that her hydrangea plants have never looked better. She has 12 of them, and they are blooming well. However, Damiano said that might not be the result of hot weather this summer. Instead, unusually heavy rains late last summer and fall may have helped buds to form. A smaller number of those buds were damaged by the mild winter weather. The result is a lot of blooms. Some plants suffer in the heat, including impatiens. The small flowers are not doing well. But what Damiano dislikes are the creatures that become more active and numerous when temperatures rise. Mosquitoes are most active at sunrise and sunset, but they can bite at any time. Although heat theoretically slows their activity, hot conditions can help mosquitoes spread. Damiano advises to prevent water from collecting in places around the garden, or to put something called BTI in wet areas where mosquitoes might lay eggs. BTI is a kind of bacteria that produces a substance poisonous to young mosquitoes and a few other flying insects. It is natural, and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, says it is safe for people and most other insects and animals as well. Ticks present another problem. The creatures bite people and spread disease. Cold weather kills them, but they do well in hot weather. Normally found in the eastern U.S. and on the Pacific coast, ticks appear to be spreading to new areas. The EPA even said climate change has contributed to the expanded range of ticks. Wearing long sleeves and pants and using special chemicals to keep ticks away can help protect against their bites. Earwigs also like heat and humidity. They can make holes in plant leaves, Damiano said. But the pincher bugs also eat aphids, which are enemies in the garden. So are thrips and spider mites. In addition to insects, heat and humidity are good conditions for slugs. These creatures have soft, slimy bodies, and they eat plants. Luckily, there are easy ways to control these garden problems. One is to spray soapy water onto soft-bodied insects like aphids, spider mites, thrips, and white flies. As for slugs, salt will kill them, but is not good for garden soil. They do not like sharp surfaces, however, so adding crushed eggshells can be an effective control method. The eggshells break down and nourish the plants over time. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Mario Ritter, Jr. is here now to talk more about the Health and Lifestyle Report. Hi, Mario. Welcome.
Thank you, Ashley. It's good to be here.
This week, we have another story from AP reporter Jessica Damiano with gardening tips for hot weather. It's only summer in the northern half of the world right now, but summer will come to the southern half soon enough. Today, I think listeners might have questions about some of the gardening-related terms we heard. One is a garden-related verb. Which one do you think I might be talking about?
I'm going to guess the verb is soak.
You are right.
Soak means to water a plant a lot so that the moisture goes deep into the ground. The goal is to train the roots to grow deeply instead of near the surface. It's important to do in gardening.
The next one is a noun from animal biology. Which one do you think might puzzle some of our listeners?
I'm going to go out on a limb, or make a wild guess, and say it's the word maggot.
That's the one.
A maggot is the larval stage of any fly. Damiano is talking about different kinds of flies that affect garden crops, like cabbage or corn. It is a very specific biological term that also is associated with something going bad or rotting.
There might also be questions about the pronunciation of a flower. What do you think it might be?
That has to be impatiens. It is pronounced impatiens with a Z sound. That's because it comes directly from another language, Latin. But as our listeners might guess, it means impatient.
Well, our listeners might be growing impatient for the lesson of the day. It's nice to talk with you, Mario, and thanks for that report.
Likewise, Ashley. Thank you.
Music means it's time for the lesson of the day on the Learning English Podcast. My name is Andrew Smith, and I'm joined by Dr. Jill Robbins. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Andrew.
Our lesson is based on our video series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C. Here's Anna introducing herself.
Hello, my name is Anna Mateo.
If you've been watching Let's Learn English, you know that Anna has a big imagination. Imagination helps you form pictures or new ideas in your mind, sometimes about things that are not real. So to get started with our lesson, I'm going to ask Andrew to use his imagination.
Uh-oh. What if I'm not feeling very imaginative?
Don't worry. I'm going to ask you some easy questions to begin.
Okay.
Would you rather be a professional tennis player or a professional musician, like a concert pianist?
You know I love both of those. But I think I'd rather be a concert pianist because you can play piano for your whole life. But you can only be a professional athlete when you're young. Plus, even good athletes lose a lot when they compete.
That's true. Now, would you rather be able to fly or be invisible?
Ooh, now you're really asking me to use my imagination. Unfortunately, neither one of those is possible, but I think I'd rather fly. It would be so easy to get from place to place. How about you?
I think I'd rather be invisible because then I could go anywhere I wanted to. I don't know. It might cause some trouble, though.
Yes, I think so. Okay, so, Jill, I think we'd better connect these questions to Anna and the video series.
Yeah, we'd better do that. Lesson 24 of Level 2 of Let's Learn English teaches two expressions you just heard Andrew and me use.
Those are the expressions would rather and had better. Would rather asks what you prefer to do or be. And we use had better to give advice in a strong way, almost like the word must.
In lesson 24, Anna imagines she has special powers, just like some famous superheroes from the movies, such as Spider-Man or Superman. For example, Superman can fly and lift very heavy objects.
The lesson begins when Anna asks a young man about superheroes. Listen for the expressions, you'd better and I'd rather.
Hi, I see you like superhero culture. Me too. In fact, tonight I'm going to the big superhero convention. Are you going?
I don't know.
Well, you'd better decide soon. Last year, it sold out. So, since we're talking about superheroes, would you rather become a superhero by accident, like Spider-Man, or be born a superhero, like Wonder Woman? Take your time. It's a big question. I thought about it for days.
Okay, if I had to choose, I'd rather be born a superhero.
I'd rather become a superhero by an unexpected accident.
Aren't all accidents unexpected?
I think the young man is pretty smart by saying that Anna did not need to use the word unexpected.
Yes, in the lesson, you'll see that the boy thinks in a more clear way than Anna does.
But Anna has an excuse because she has an accident. Here it is. And listen to Professor Bot explain.
What was that? Are you okay?
I'm better than okay. I feel super.
Oh no, Anna was just hit by lightning. She had better get help. We use had better to give advice. It is very informal and stronger than should or ought to. For example, Anna says,
you'd better decide soon. Last year, it sold out.
When we use had better, we usually shorten the word had for personal pronouns. We use would rather to say what we or someone else prefers to do or have. For example, the boy says,
okay, if I had to choose, I'd rather be born a superhero.
With would rather, we also shorten the word would when used with personal pronouns. Keep watching and listen for had better and would rather.
Anna was hit by lightning. That is serious. And sometimes people die when that happens. So, naturally, the young man is worried about Anna.
You'd better see a doctor.
I've never felt better.
You were just struck by lightning. And what happened to your hair and your clothes?
I don't know. Wait, I do know. This is my super suit. And this is my origin story.
What are you talking about?
An origin story tells the beginning of a superhero. You should know that.
You're not making any sense, lady.
I would rather be called Lightning Bolt Lady. It'll sound great in a theme song.
Lady Bolt Lady!
Don't worry, Anna is feeling great and says the lightning strike gives her an origin story. The word origin, spelled O-R-I-G-I-N, means the beginning, cause, or source of something.
For example, the origins of rap music were mostly in New York City in the late 1970s. That's where it began.
Anna thinks she has an origin story and superpowers. But the young man thinks she needs help.
Now I need to find my superpowers. Wait, don't tell me. I'll read your mind. You are thinking you'd like to be my super helper.
I was not thinking that.
That you'd like to live in a treehouse.
No.
That you should eat more vegetables.
Please stop talking. You really should get some help.
Mind reading is not my superpower. Maybe I can become invisible. I am invisible. You can't see me. Who am I? I'm not here. You can't see me.
I can see you, and so can everybody else.
Anna's superpowers are clearly not working. And the boy thinks he'd better go with Anna to make sure she is okay. But Anna would rather go by herself.
I'd better go with you. You might get worse. That's even possible.
That's very nice of you, ordinary human. But I'd rather go by myself. This is a quest.
Every time you speak, I get more confused.
A quest is a part of all superhero stories. You really need to work on your superhero studies. Now, stand back. I've never flown before.
And you're not flying now.
Flying is not my superpower. That's too bad. It's going to be expensive to Uber everywhere. You know, I'd rather walk. It's a nice day. Goodbye, non-super person.
I'm not talking to strangers again.
I think lesson 24 of level 2 is one of the funniest episodes of Let's Learn English. Felix, who is the young man, appears in some of the other episodes, like the duck boat story. He's a great comic actor, I think. Listeners, you should definitely try to watch it.
I agree, they should. Now, before we finish today's lesson, let's explain more about the word quest. Listen again.
That's very nice of you, ordinary human, but I'd rather go by myself. This is a quest.
Every time you speak, I get more confused.
A quest is a part of all superhero stories.
A quest is a long and difficult search for something. It often takes months or years to do. Quest is spelled Q-U-E-S-T.
You know, I think learning to speak a foreign language can be like a quest. You have to keep working at it for a long time.
That's so true. The good news is, if you just keep studying and practicing in a smart way, you will usually reach your goal.
So, listeners, use your imagination. Picture yourself speaking fluently, clearly, confidently, and easily in English. One day, you will get there.
And you don't need to be struck by lightning to be able to do it.
Thank goodness. Well, it's time to go, so we'd better say goodbye.
Oh, but don't forget, lesson 24, like all of the lessons of Let's Learn English, has a lesson plan you can download for free. The plans can be helpful for both students and teachers.
And remember that you can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thanks for listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Dr. Jill.
that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.